Last week we looked at our first core value, which is love. It undergirds everything that we do. We had a statement to go along with it. These are going to be available online. This week is sensitivity. I was studying, and I shouldn't say unfortunately, I guess fortunately for all of us, the Lord changed my message. He gave me a very clear no after I had put some time in this week that not only was this not the message for Sunday, but it was probably not the second core value. So I scrapped that. I'm praying very hard about it. I originally had three core values that I thought were going to be our identity for now. We can always add to them later, but unless the Holy Spirit speaks to me this week, we will start with two, and I will add a third and let you know when we get there. So I have dropped one, and we have moved on to the third one, which is sensitivity. The statement along with that is this: we believe that only through sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's leading will we have a purposeful and eternal impact within our community. Everything we say and do and every decision we make will be revealed to us through Him. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit keeps us honest, humble, holy, dependent, and sincere. We strive to recognize His leading and to act in accordance with His word through obedience. Only when our flesh is in submission will eternal success be achieved. This is quite a similar topic and passage as we had in October. I'm going to have you turn to John chapter 14 this morning and then over to John chapter 16 as we start out. I'm going to try and not intentionally take a whole bunch of the content from October because it was not that long ago, but it will certainly seem along a similar vein, and this will be some repeat of some things to some degree. So certainly this first passage is something that we talked about, but John chapter 14, I'm going to read two verses. Verses 16 and 17 says, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know, because He abides with you and He will be in you." That word there, helper, in verse 16, or whatever your verse says, in Greek it is parakletos. This is a Greek word that I often talk about. It means the comforter, the advocate, the one who comes alongside to help. He's the comforter. The Holy Spirit is a powerful word that only John uses in the Greek New Testament. John chapter 16, if you flip over the other part, the other passage where we see this word used, we'll start in verse 7. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." This is Jesus telling the disciples and encouraging them, "It's actually better that I go away." That's how important and impactful the Spirit is. He says, "For if I do not go away, the helper," same word, parakletos, comforter, advocate, intercessor, the one called alongside to help, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that He went away. That'll preach. That's not a word we like to think about. How awesome would it be if Jesus were here? What is being said is that Jesus was in one place because He'd come in flesh. But the Holy Spirit is Jesus and all the power behind it everywhere and living inside of us. Verse 8. "And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see Me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been," past tensed, "judged." I'm going to take this first sentence of this core value of sensitivity. We believe that only through sensitivity, the Holy Spirit's leading, will we have a purposeful and eternal impact within our community. Why do we as a church care about things in the future? Well, it's more than that. Pastor, shouldn't we be dealing with the here and now? There are needs all around us. Yes, we should. And I'm not advocating that we are to ignore legitimate needs just for the sake of ignoring them. But I am saying that every need should be prayerfully discerned whether or not there is even an underlying eternal impact behind it. And if we are not impacting the eternal, then what we are doing is just a good deed. So I would take it and argue simply that the eternal is what matters most, but is where our focus should be as a church. It's great to clothe those that do not have. But as we looked at last week, if you're not doing it with love, all of these things that we do inside the four walls are in vain. If we're just clothing the needy, but we don't have an end eternal impact in sight, then it's of no importance to his kingdom. If we are going to bring his kingdom to the New River Valley, if we're going to see his manifest presence and glory made known, the knowledge of that, so everyone can come into a right understanding of who God is and all that he has for him, then we aren't simply just to give out clothes. We're supposed to look deep down inside and see with our spiritual eyes the spiritual internal impact, eternal impact that we are to have. And I believe that it is only through God's Spirit that really anything of eternal value is accomplished. I could stand up here and preach, and I can try my best to give a good message, but if the Lord is not in it through his Holy Spirit, I simply wonder what impact it really has. I'll say it this way. I'll at least argue that when the Holy Spirit is behind it, we are way more effective and successful in our areas of ministry. Amen. Additionally, God's work is not done by our resources and intellect, our wealth, our enthusiasm, or our cleverness. It must be through him and by his Spirit. Everything we say and do, and every decision we make will be revealed to us through him. This is the next sentence and phrase of our statement. Everything that we say and do, every decision we make will be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. I believe that we as a church ought to actually take time out of our day to ask the Holy Spirit what we ought to do next. That we ought to, before we dive into anything, whether it be choosing songs or whether picking out a Sunday school lesson or whether we're going over to pray for somebody, that we should actually stop and invite the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us. How many of you would like if I just, every Sunday morning, I would just open the Word and I would just point to a verse and say, the message this morning is. You know, it may not be a bad thing because this is God's Word. But how much would you rather have somebody who digs in and asks the Lord, what is the message for this person, for this right here in the now? In the same way, how often do we go and we pray for somebody? Can I pray with you? And we're just so quick to insert our own words in it, aren't we? What do you need prayer for? Well, how about you stop and actually ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to pray over this person? Holy Spirit, what do you want me to preach this morning? Holy Spirit, what songs do you want me to play and sing? What Sunday school lesson are we to go into? What verses should I bring and share with this person? Who should I go and pray over? And if we have this attitude of doing things or we can do things on our own, then what we're doing is actually rejecting the Holy Spirit whom God has given us as a helper to assist us in bringing out his eternal will to the New River Valley. I know that listening to the Holy Spirit is different than reading the Bible. Now, you can listen to him while reading the Bible, but they're not one and the same. The Bible is not a substitute for the Holy Spirit. They go hand in hand. The Holy Spirit assists you and teaches you things in the Word of God. But if you're deciding and trying to figure out which job to take and you're just going to open your Bible and read to it, it's likely not going to give you the exact answer you're looking for. He may give you a piece or a verse that calms your spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit that is actually going to guide you into all things. When the army of Israel was getting ready to cross the Jordan River and invade Jericho, I believe they must have heard God. Well, we know certainly that at least Joshua did. But it's a very strange battle plan if you think about it. The most effective way of attacking a giant walled city is probably not marching around it for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, 7 times. But what if Israel just took and said, we've got numbers, look at how, we're 1 million-man people. We could just take the strength of all of our men and go in there. Can you imagine what would happen? Well, I can't imagine because it happened in the city of Ai. You read a few chapters around that area is when Israel, because of their successful attacks in the promised land, here they sent out just a few people to Ai. Oh, it's just a small town. And they got beat up and ran away. And there was sin in the camp, and God pointed it out. He said, if you would only come to me first. Can you imagine those men may have been spared? So God told Joshua his plan, and they followed it, and there was victory. And as you walk in victory today we must do the same thing. Instead of just looking at the walls of Jericho in our community, we say, God, how do you want us to go about attacking this stronghold? How do you want us to go about bringing life and liberty and freedom to the people in our area? You may not be facing a military challenge like Joshua was, but you may be facing, for instance, a financial strain, a job in another city, what to do with a child that has turned their back on God. And I believe the written word of God can give you a general direction, but I don't think it's necessarily going to give you something specific. So we must be able to discern the voice and promptings of the Holy Spirit. You must be sensitive to his, to the leadings that are in your heart. He is going to help us and lead us into the right way. Verse 12 of chapter 16 of John. I have verses this morning, not near as many as the love message last week. A lot of this is just topical truth, and we don't have passages for, but I do want you to see these verses. Verse 12 says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. This verse 13 of this chapter says he will guide us into all truth. This is something I shared about in October. What is truth? Truth, defined loosely, is that which is consistent with the mind, will, and character of God. So those things, those attributes that you see when you get to know God personally, that is truth. The Holy Spirit is going to actually guide you in to a revelation and understanding of all of God's character, will, and mind, and glory. You want to know God's glory? Have the Holy Spirit lead you into truth. You want to know God's character, his will, his plan for you, his plan for the church? Get to know God through the Holy Spirit. I read this last time. It said, Matthew Henry said about this verse in 13, says, the anointing is truth. The Spirit shall teach nothing but the truth, for he shall not speak of himself any doctrine distinct from mine, but whatsoever he shall hear and knows to be the mind of the Father, that and that only shall he speak. This intimates that the testimony of the Spirit always concurs with the word of Christ, for he does not speak of himself. He has no separate interest or intention of his own, but he is one with the Father and the Son. Men's word and spirit often disagree, but the eternal word and the eternal spirit never do. So the Holy Spirit is not only our personal guide, but he leads us into all the truth. The real question we should be asking is this: why wouldn't we want to, or why would we want to do anything without the leading of the Holy Spirit beforehand? That's really what we ought to be asking, is when instead of asking when should we listen and stop and listen to the Holy Spirit, or what kind of things should we stop and listen to him, is why would you want to do anything on this earth without beforehand asking God for an answer? Life is so short. Life is so short. And here we are, God's given us a commission and a task as believers to go and change the world and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Why would we want to waste our time reaching people out of our own strength and will and mind and ideas when we have this perfect personal guide who can only lead us into truth? I think too many of God's people are led by fear. Is that we actually make decisions that affect the eternal, God's kingdom of heaven here in this earth, based in fear. We actually will not pray for someone because we are afraid of the outcome. But when the Holy Spirit tells you to do it, what are you going to do? I think too many of God's people are led by doubt or man-pleasing. This is why we need humility. Too many of God's people are led by presumption and assumption, idols in their hearts and false prophets. Is that are we really taking the time to ask God why we are doing the things we're doing, or we just think that this is a good idea and we're going to step out and do them? But if we never allow the Holy Spirit to lead us on the day-to-day little things, how can you expect yourself to be sensitive enough to hear on the big things? We practice in the little things. It's the little things where he's speaking constantly to us. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? Should I pray for this person? So when it comes to the big decisions about where to move or what job you are to take or who do you marry if you're young, the Holy Spirit tells you, and you're sensitive and already know his voice. See, God has not called us into making decisions based on what the world thinks or says. God has not called us into making decisions based on what the enemy, the devil, says. It's time that we as Christians stop putting our fleeces before the Lord. Say, God, would you just show me a sign? Would you just start trusting the Holy Spirit who is going to guide you into all truth? So how do we do that? Spend time with him. I know you don't like that answer. Oh, we're so busy. You know what? You're too busy not to spend time with him. Because your day-to-day little tasks that are so menial compared to the eternal will of God will be a lot more successful and effective when you actually take the time out of your day to ask God how to go about your business. Think of it this way. How smart is God? How smart is man? If you had Albert Einstein as your personal secretary, would you rather him pushing pencils or actually helping you with your projects, putting his mind and his resources? Well, let me tell you something. The foolish of God shames Albert Einstein and his brain. And here we have the very Spirit of God living inside of us with infinite knowledge, the God who knows everything. And we don't even stop to ask him how we should handle things that affect his kingdom, nonetheless. It's one thing you want to make dinner and you don't want to ask him. It's a whole other thing when you're talking about prayer and salvation and worship and bringing God's glory to the earth. And here we are doing it out of repetition or doing it out of our intellect or our own strength. Everything in this church must be done with a sensitivity to God the Father through the Holy Spirit. Spend time with him. Practice the presence of God. Cultivate an awareness of his presence. Talk to him throughout the day. Instead of just driving mindlessly or listening to the radio that's probably not edifying or watching the news, would you just take some time and acknowledge that God is here? God, thank you for that beautiful sunset. And it starts to shift your thinking and saying, God is here in the midst of this. God is here in the midst of this adversity. God is in the midst of this beautiful creation. God is in the midst of all the finances and the resources in front of me. God, thank you for my house. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. And instead, we so often say, I don't like my husband, I don't like my wife, my children are backslidden, I don't have enough money. But if we get our eyes off of the woes of this world and start thanking God for what we have, and start realizing that the Holy Spirit is here in our midst, we're going to be more sensitive to him when he does speak. Thank him, praise him, glorify him in your heart. Think of him before you take a step. Think of him before you open your mouth. Let him shape your very thoughts before you move in the morning. You know, I already alluded to this, but I just want to bring this out again. Even things that seem like they're done in the right spirit and motivation, like prayer. I don't think anyone would ever argue that praying for someone is a bad thing. But how often do we get up and pray for somebody and we miss the Spirit of God and the word that he has for that person? Because we're so quick to insert our wonderful verbose English language rather than just be still and know that he is God. And the Holy Spirit, who's the teacher of all things, is going to give you the words to say in that very moment. So rather than just immediately opening your mouth, say, God, I'm just going to be quiet and pray in your spirit. Give me the right words to say. Lord, what is it about this person that you've stirred in my heart to go pray for them? See, even God's work, even things, and I would argue especially God's work in things within the church, must be done by God's Spirit, by the Ruach of God. It is by the supernatural enabling of God alone that men are able to accomplish the work of the Lord in the world. And God's Spirit, I believe, is the only absolutely necessary resource that we have on which we must depend. That God's Spirit is the only absolutely necessary resource in which we must depend. Luke chapter 12, Jesus says, when he's talking to his disciples to encourage them, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. That's verses 11 and 12, if you're taking notes. Do not worry about what you are to say or about giving a defense, for the Holy Spirit himself is going to teach you what to say in that very moment. How many of you have ever caught this before? It doesn't say the Holy Spirit is going to speak it through you, does it? It says the Holy Spirit is actually going to teach you it in that very moment. One of the wonderful things about being taught and learning or about it being in a classroom setting is that what you have within your brain, or in this case in your spirit man, you can actually take with you and use elsewhere. That the Holy Spirit is not just going to give you the words, but he's going to go above and beyond that. He's actually going to teach you so that you can be better at this in the future. He's going to guide you and teach you with the very words. So don't worry. Don't worry about practicing your prayer. Oh, pastor asked me to pray out loud at the service tonight. And you go home and you write out your prayer. You know, that's maybe innocent and fine. I'm not saying it necessarily comes from a wrong place. The Holy Spirit can inspire your practice time, if you will. But the Word also says that the Holy Spirit is going to teach us what to say in that very moment. And I would say the Holy Spirit is a far better teacher than our brains and intellect can be. The prayers that you can put together with the study and practice of the Word and your own intellect are far less important and better than the Holy Spirit speaking out one word. Because if the word comes from the Holy Spirit, love, compassion, or peace, and that's what the person needs to hear, then that's what's going to have the most eternal impact. Not some flowery prayer over them. Oh, your prayer really blessed me. Well, that may be the case, but the Holy Spirit knows what's going on within that person. And sometimes you just need to walk up to somebody and say, the Holy Spirit just wanted me to give you a word. Love. And I've seen it happen where people break down in tears. Not because I knew that they needed love, but because the Holy Spirit taught me in that very moment, and I was obedient to do it, that we actually speak out and the person breaks because the Spirit is communicating with the spirit of that other person. And you can't do that with your own resources, your own intellect, your own power or strength. And if you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit to begin with, then that other person misses out. So our flesh must die, and we must ask the Holy Spirit to lead us into that place of teaching, sensitivity. He teaches us how to do things God's way. And you can be certain, as was said in October, that the Holy Spirit is never going to lead you into something that is opposite of God's word. It's always in accordance with God's word. The Spirit and the Word will always and always agree. But as leaders, we can easily move from accomplishing one task, whether it be scrubbing a toilet or vacuuming the floor or preparing a message, or practicing a song, or printing bulletins. We can move from something like that to another and never really be sensitive and pause for a moment about the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, we're essentially becoming like leaders in the world that do not rely on him. We work out of our mind. We work out of our will and our emotions, what the Bible calls flesh, and we're not working out of a place of our spirit. And I want us to be different than the world. God the Father has actually given us to our advantage the Holy Spirit to help us with the little things all the way up to the very big things. He doesn't want us to try and do this thing we call church in being Christians all on our own, because we can't. There's a story of an airline captain who was flying a big jet, jumbo jet. And the people on the airline heard the captain's voice come over the PA system. He said, "There's no cause for alarm, but we felt you passengers should know that for the last 3 hours we've been flying without any controls, compass, radar, or navigational equipment. This means that in the loose sense of the word, we are lost and we're not sure which direction we are going. But the good news is, on the other hand, that we are making excellent time." There's a lot of people in ministry like this. Is that we have no direction or compass or navigation in our life, but we really are making great time, aren't we? Is that we're going to be the best worship leader we can, but if we have no compass in our systems, then all we're doing is hurrying up at a dead end or a crash. The Holy Spirit is our navigation equipment. And if you're trying to fly without it, then you're really getting nowhere. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right, or when you turn to the left." That the Holy Spirit actually tells us the little things. "I want you to go this way today, Eric. I want you to go that way today." But we must be sensitive to the Spirit. When pastors and church leaders follow or fail to follow the plan of God, people often leave the church because I believe they're not being spiritually fed or fulfilled. And sometimes these people cannot even articulate what is wrong with that church or tell you why they're leaving. They might say something like, "Oh, well, the music," or "it was the preaching," or "the youth or children's programs." But I believe the underground reason in many of these cases is because they are not encountering God anymore. Because your flesh can get over the things looking around you when the encounter with God is real. When the manifest presence of God is in a place, you're going to overlook that the coffee doesn't taste that good anymore. When you experience the fullness of God's glory, you're going to overlook the fact that the worship team isn't perfect, because you've experienced God's fullness on Sunday morning. So yeah, we can strive to have the best coffee. We can strive to have the best preaching, the best worship team. We can strive to have the temperature set just right, the lighting perfect, and all the programs and ministries. But you know what? If God is not here on Sunday morning, then people will not come back. They may not even be able to articulate it and explain it. I've read all the articles and the exit polls about all the many reasons people are leaving. But most of them are just surface. They really are. They make these things so complex and complicated, and it causes pastors, myself included, and many church leaders to continue rehashing over all the different ideas and things that they've implemented and tried. What can we do to increase numbers? But is that what it's really about? Is it about numbers? Well, yes and no. The Catholics have numbers. The Mormons have numbers. Muslims have numbers. But when man ceases to make decisions based within God's will, it isn't long before the blessing and the favor of the Lord departs. And I would rather have 50 people that are hungry for God than 500 that want to be entertained. Let me take it a step further. I believe one of the big reasons we are not seeing the power and glory of God in many of our churches today is because we don't pray in tongues long enough to see the Holy Spirit give birth to the ideas and the things to help us implement His will. That's a very specific accusation, but I believe it to be true, because the Holy Spirit is our guide. And if you're not doing it through Him, then you are doing it through your own power and strength. And eventually you're going to burn out. Eventually you're going to fail and man is going to leave. But if you are doing it only by the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, who can only guide you into all truth, then you can never go wrong. And it's in a place of praying in the Spirit that He is going to guide us as individuals as husbands, as wives, as parents, as church leaders, and as a pastor, if we would take time out of our day to just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come and direct us, oh, would our church have been in a much different place? I'm talking about the global church. All the denominations of the world, I'm talking Christian denominations, those accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as crucified, dead, and raised again. We can agree on that. All of those, I believe, have something fundamentally missing. This isn't to point at everyone else. We may be wrong in some things too, and the Lord, I hope, will show me. Holy Spirit, reveal it to me. But all the denominations, why are there so many different suggestions on how to interpret Scripture? It's because somewhere down the line, we are not listening to the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the Scripture. The Word is not wrong. The Word is not confusing. It's that we fundamentally have a problem on how to interpret Scripture. In the same way, we churches have lots of different ideas on how to do things and different strategies. And if we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, then we're going to have many different paths. But really, there is one perfect will for this church. And we must be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in order to follow in His leading. May we come to the end of our own wisdom, strength, and sufficiency. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And I would add, and from God only. As individuals and as a church, we must be committed to prayer. Prayer plugs us into the power and resources of the Holy Spirit. And it is the litmus test for our dependency upon Him. Where there is no prayer, I would say that there is probably no sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Where prayer is absent or reduced, the confidence in human being increases and flourishes. I'm going to shift focus a bit. I want to spend a few minutes talking about why we as believers need His guidance. This phrase, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, keeps us holy, honest, humble, dependent, and sincere. Holiness we talked about a couple months ago, but by way of a quick review, I want you to think about the name Holy Spirit. His name is Holy Spirit. How many of you know that it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit? If you want more of Him in your life, then you need to actively make sure that sin is being dealt with. Cut out the activities that do not please Him, that do not edify your spirit man. Be quick to repent, because the Holy Spirit is ultimately the one who convicts you of sin. John 16:8, as we read, and He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. But not only is He the one who convicts us of sin, He sanctifies us. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit in faith in the truth. 1 Peter 1:2 says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. But He's also the one who regenerates us. Titus 3:5 says, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. But on top of all of this, it's the Holy Spirit that actually keeps us from sin if we listen and obey Him. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 this morning, a place we were in Sunday school. But you'd know that if you were already there. Or you would already know that if you were there. That's just my freebie plug for Sunday school. It lines up with Sunday teaching more often than it does not. Because the same Holy Spirit that has orchestrated everything is the same Holy Spirit that we should be listening to in everything. Verses 16 through 18, it's a part of a much greater passage, but we don't have time to explain all of it this morning or go into detail. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, but so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is huge. Paul is actually saying and telling us that if you are Holy Spirit sensitive in all things, there's no need for any rules or laws. Because he knew that the Holy Spirit can and will lead us into all truth. If you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out anything under the flesh. Verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, capitalized, law of Moses. It's that nothing man could even add on to the Ten Commandments, all the Pharisees and their rules and all their legalism is hogwash, because now Jesus has fulfilled the law and he gave us something better, the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Now, I'm not advocating anarchy. What I'm saying is this. The Holy Spirit will keep you from being an anarchist if you listen to him in all things. In fact, his laws are probably more legalistic than the Pharisees in some respects. You're not just allowed to commit adultery, but you're not allowed to lust even now. So I've used as many examples before Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 6. The Holy Spirit guides us into a lifestyle of honesty, as well as keeps us from sin. Romans 9:1, in the King James Version, it says, the Spirit bears witness to the truth in our conscience. That the Holy Spirit actually bears witness and confirms the word of truth in our own conscience. But the beauty of this is that the Holy Spirit keeps us living out the lifestyle of purity and sinlessness, and therefore we cannot lie if we are sensitive to him. We cannot even make a mistake if we were truly sensitive to the Holy Spirit in all things, because he is truth, and in him there is no deceit. While listening to the words that he says, we can only speak forth the truth of God. Probably one of the most important reasons for us as a church to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in everything is that it keeps us humble. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. By my Spirit needs to be a motto in all that we do. If success is going to be gained through the work done by God's people, it will not be achieved by what we can do, but what by the Spirit can do directly through us. Dependency and sensitivity on the Holy Spirit keeps us humble in the way that we acknowledge God working through us. If you think you have all the brains and the intellect and the brawn to fulfill the work of God without the Holy Spirit, then what you're in effect saying is, God, I don't need you to do your work. Stop putting everything, including the work of God, on your shoulders. My ministry this, my ministry that. Who's? One of the beauties of saying it's his ministry is not only that he's ultimately responsible for bringing it about and bringing success to it, but that when we fail, it's also on him. Because it's not that we fail because he's spoken something wrong. We learn and grow from that, but God, if it's his ministry, could grow and make something good out of the mistakes that we make. I've noticed lately that a lot of Christians are tired. We're busy. We're weary. We're taking on a lot of responsibilities. We're working hard for the Lord. But you know what we aren't saying enough? Lord, you commissioned me for such a time as this, to do such a task as this. Give me the grace and strength to help me in this time of need. And instead of giving it over to the Holy Spirit, we attempt to handle everything by our own intellect and strength, our own resources. How many of you would trust Ted Heller to put an addition on the back of your house? You're comfortable with the craftsmanship of Ted? How many of you are comfortable to have Linda coordinate a reception for you? You're pretty comfortable with her caretaking, right? How many of you are comfortable with, let's say, maybe a master electrician coming in and replacing a fixture in your house? Whether you like him or not, how many of you are comfortable with, say, Warren Buffett personally taking over your finances for investments? How many of us are comfortable trusting the Holy Spirit to personally guide us in the ministry in every aspect that God has for us? Because let me tell you something, the Holy Spirit is a whole lot smarter than Warren Buffett. And he's a whole lot better electrician than some master guy down the road. And he's a whole lot better coordinator than Linda is. He's a whole lot better builder than Ted is. And here we have the Holy Spirit who knows all things living inside of us and guiding us. And we don't even stop and acknowledge that he's speaking to us in most aspects of our ministry. When we do not humble ourselves, we're saying we do not trust God. We're essentially telling him that we can do it on our own, that we're smart enough, strong enough, rich enough. Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Get your eyes into the spiritual realm where his ministry comes from. Stay there. Abide there. He is the only one who can bring about true success that impacts the eternal in the most efficient way. The last thing that I believe is worth mentioning this morning, I'm going to try and close out in a couple minutes, is that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit should in no way imply just, quote, hearing his voice. There's a difference between hearing and listening. For those that are married, you probably know that. For those wives, you definitely know that. Each of us has a deep need to be heard and cared for, whether we admit it or not. But if you feel that a person is not listening, you feel that they do not care. And I don't believe that listening is a spiritual gift that some people have and some people do not have. Listening is something that we can all do, even if you're deaf. It's a skill that can be improved by simply turning it on and letting it work. And when you talk about sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are implying not just hearing his voice, but actually walking it out in obedience. There must be follow through. We must obey the commands of the Holy Spirit. So sensitivity isn't just being emotional and crying about every little thing in church. It's not just talking about hearing the voice of God, but there must be follow-through in obedience. There wasn't a great word in English, so this is why we're using sensitivity. I prayed about a lot of other words, but I didn't feel like any of them encapsulated being Spirit-led as well as this. So we must understand that sensitivity also implies an obedience within the church. Whatever the Holy Spirit directs you to do, do not doubt it. Act upon it. He tells you to pray, you pray. He tells you to sing, you sing. He tells you to jump, you jump. He tells you to dance, you dance. He tells you to bow down, you bow down. He tells you to minister, you minister. He tells you to prophesy, you prophesy. He tells you to interpret, you interpret. He tells you to bow, to share something in your excess, then you share it. He tells you to go talk to this person, you better go talk to that person. And when he forbids you from doing a particular thing, you better stop it immediately. Why? Because Jesus himself also walked by the Spirit. There was no single thing that he did on his own initiative. Do you remember when Jesus was led out into the wilderness? He was led out by whom? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit directed Jesus to go into the desert. It wasn't because, I don't know this as a fact, but I would guess it's probably not because Jesus was really excited about spending 40 days in the desert without water. I suspect that Jesus only went into the desert because the Holy Spirit led him to, out of his obedience. But Jesus obeyed the will of the Father so perfectly, even to the point of death. And if we cannot too be like Jesus, who is God, and follow the Holy Spirit, trying to do the work of God here on this earth without the Holy Spirit's leading, this just does not make sense. How is it that God as Jesus listened to the Holy Spirit and we do not? If he needed him, how much more do we? How can we please God when we do not listen to his voice? And I believe that everything we ought to do should be in submission to him. We need to ask God for sensitivity to his heart. I hope we would pray this type of prayer on a daily basis. Because I need and I want to have a greater sensitivity to his heart. And I believe many times we have not because we ask not.